Brother Dana, brother mine, delivers you best worst case scenario podcast.
On the other side, like into the deep forest, and on the other side of this mountain is like all dangerous, and like you don't know what's in those woods.
Yeah.
And if you were to go into those woods without any
protection.
Weapons, yeah, protection, you'd be a fucking you'd be a damn fool.
A damn fool.
Like, because there's bears, cougars, crazy hermits, you know, the list goes on.
Yeah, but there's more to be afraid of
than
just
kitties.
Cougars.
What is there to be afraid of in the woods?
Terrifying things in the woods. Things... things you can't put words to. Things you don't even know what those things are.
Like cryptids.
Cryptids. Hey guys, this is mine. I'm back here at the at the podcast
central headquarters.
The headquarters, that's the word I was looking for.
And this is Dana over here.
Yeah, and we're about to make some magic happen for your ears.
Hope you got your silver bullets.
Yeah, we've done a lot of digging on some really interesting stuff.
It's a nice pun there.
I think you're going to find it quite fetching. But
it's too soon.
No, this is seriously one of the topics that I've heard a lot about. I hadn't done so much digging into before.
Yeah,
that's the
I'm
last
excited.
Time I use the word digging.
I'm excited about this topic too, because we live in the woods, and
not in the woods, but
we fucking
near
do.
The woods.
We live in the woods pretty much. So this thing, or cryptids, and this thing we're going to be talking about is kind of relevant for anybody who's in a rural area or near trees. There could be something fucking nearby you.
If you're a Midwesterner, you'll definitely get some stuff out of this one. Because today, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about the Beast of Bray Road. In Walworth County, there is a street called Bray Road. If you were to drive down this road, you might not notice anything out of the ordinary. And yet, this unsuspecting place is world famous. If it sounds familiar to you, the reason why is that hundreds of people have reported seeing something there. Something wholly unnatural and downright terrifying. There seems to be a large creature of unknown origin that stalks the woods surrounding Bray Road. Witnesses vary in description, but the commonalities between them are a 7-foot-tall bipedal humanoid with a coat of dark black fur and a wolf's head with glowing red eyes.
If that doesn't make you shit your pants, I don't know what will. Also, sometimes seen on a unicycle, way more terrifying because it can keep up with your car, and it's like
on the unicycle.
Yeah.
And he also juggles
heads, severed heads while he's chasing.
It's terrifying, but also a little entertaining. So
yeah, this little beastie boy was first seen in 1936 on Bray Road, hence the name, the Beast of Bray Road.
Could have been any road. It could have been like, what's the road? Could have been, Piper Way. Imagine if it was the Beast of Piper Way.
I'd imagine a giant angry parrot or something.
Or,
like Broadway? The Beast of Broadway?
The Beast of Broadway.
Like, that sounds like somebody.
I'm getting some burlesque vibes there.
That hasn't made it in their career.
Sometimes he does a sexy dance on a tree with his fur, you know?
The Beast of Broadway is just an actor who never made it, and he's just a street performer now.
Sad.
In a furry costume.
It's like the Joker.
But the Beast of Brayron.
Brayron.
Totally. Some people know him as Dogman, Man-Wolf, Bear-Wolf, or Werewolf. These are some of the...
Bear-Wolf?
Bear-Wolf.
Or Werewolf? Are you just rhyming?
No. These are some of the nicknames people give him, because they're not satisfied with the Beast of Brayron.
And it's a long name.
It is. I'll just call him Bobber.
Yeah, but you were saying 1936 was when they first saw him?
Indeed.
Also, yes. We don't know it's a him, so it could be a she.
It's probably an it, right? Like,
I don't know.
Doesn't identify.
But what were you saying about that first sighting?
That first sighting was on Bray Road in 1936, but the sighting started to pick up more and be reported more in the 80s and 90s.
Right, but do you know the story behind that 1936 one? It's actually pretty scary.
I don't.
So guy, Mark Shackleman, he was working night watch.
Oh, Mark Shackleman?
Yeah.
I think I did read a little bit.
Okay, well, he was working night watch the St. Colletta School for Exceptional Children, which is already creepy because he's out of school.
So he's working for like the X-Men?
No, he's just rolling around in a wheelchair. He was doing night watch for that school, which seems kind of weird in 1936 that they had watchmen. I thought crime was invented in like the 80s, so
holy shit. Surprises me. That makes so much sense. Fucking dog, the beast man was actually just part of the school for exceptional children.
Yeah, that's pretty exceptional if you're a dog man.
No, he was a student there.
Like, yeah, I know.
Like the beast from
Exceptional Dogs.
Wow, no, it's all people, but... So what happened to Mark?
So it's a pretty big... probably. It's a pretty big place. Like, there's a lot of buildings on the grounds, and there's fields and stuff. And, most importantly, there's some well-preserved Native American burial mounds.
In that area?
Yeah. At least there were in 1936. I don't know about now, but there were.
Some burial mounds.
Okay. Right. That's key. Remember that.
Native Americans.
So he was there at night doing his night watch, and he was crossing a field when he saw a shadow. And he got closer, and he saw this hunched figure digging into one of the mounds.
Oh, my God.
Even from far away, he could tell the thing was huge. That's when it noticed him. It stood up. And he saw that it was over 6 feet tall. I said that like it's like super tall. It's over 6 feet tall, man.
Anything over 5'7" is super
the
fucking
giant,
tall.
With a furry body and a shaggy canine face.
Oh my God.
It began to growl at Mark with what he said was a mixture of canine and human noises.
And hellhound.
Which is kind of hard to imagine. I'd imagine it'd be kind of like something like that.
It sounds like gorillas music that you just did there.
You could lay a funky beat down with it, yeah. So then suddenly it turned away and ran into the woods after it growled at him.
Wow. All bark and no bite, huh?
All growl and no towel.
All howl and no foul there.
We need to be cut off. So, yeah. And then, like you said, after that, apparently maybe there's like a slow part for 40 years.
So what happened? Did Mark run away with a full load in his pants, or did he investigate further?
Well, the story goes that he saw it the next night too. And it, the same thing, it was digging in this mound, and then it saw him, and it was like, rah, and then it turned and ran off into the woods. But after that, he never saw it again.
Okay, I'm guessing Mark was packing while he was checking it out. Like, he wouldn't go back to the same spot without weapons.
I think he just had a flashlight on him, actually.
Oh my God, this guy. Wasn't Mark like a former boxer, heavyweight champion?
I don't know, but I don't think you want to go toe-to-toe with Wolfman, you know?
Huh.
But, so like you were saying, the sightings, they got crazy after the 80s, right?
Yeah. And a lot of the reports for this wolf boy man thing, the beast of Brad Brown, has been seen running or walking on all fours, or just its hind legs, which is the scariest sight. And it's usually seen eating, or has been seen eating roadkill, and then it scurries into the woods just like you described. As soon as it's spotted, it usually scurries away, which is probably a good thing, otherwise people would be dead, I'd say.
He's a shy guy.
But some of these reports, or the damage it has done, is usually to vehicles along the road. It's left long scratches along the side of witnesses' cars, and there's been animal mutilations, and I think missing or killed livestock for some of the farmers. So yeah, there's some strange things going on in these Wisconsin woods.
That's really interesting, because a lot of the people who had evidence on their cars, like they never saw the beast, but the beast came and fucked up their car, like it likes vandalizing people's cars, yeah, or something.
But it seemed to only do it to Ford.
Why?
It was a Dodge marketing campaign. I'm kidding.
The Dodge man.
The Dodge man of Ray Road. He would dress up in a furry coat and fuck up Fords with his cart keys and his knives and scurry off into the woods. But some locals there speculate that it's either a werewolf or it could be Bigfoot. Native Americans believe that it's likely a Wendigo.
Yeah.
Which is a whole other episode and story to get into.
Yeah.
It could also be a skinwalker, which in Navajo culture, it's considered to be a witch or dangerous human being with the ability to transform into an animal. Except the only slight discrepancy there is that skinwalkers, when they morph into an animal, it's usually the full form of the animal. It's not like a mixture between a human. And so it would look like a wolf, like a literal wolf. It wouldn't look like a werewolf running around. So
yeah, it's pretty much just a bad Photoshop job, like a dog head and a hairy man's body.
Some kind of drag show.
And those are some interesting takes on what people in the area think, because people have had a long time to come up with theories about this.
Their whole life.
Because
their whole life.
The 80s and 90s was when this started to get more intense, and this town, Elkhorn, Wisconsin, is just this little rural town in Wisconsin.
It's rural. Of course you are.
So for this all to start happening, like, the local newspapers started to come out with these ridiculous stories about this wolf. Wolf man running around.
They're real.
And it got to the point where Walworth County Week, which was the paper, they assigned this lady named Linda Godfrey to cover the story.
Yeah. She was, so Linda Godfrey was 40 years old when the Walworth County Week newspaper assigned her to cover this beastly story, the Beast of Brad Brown, and investigate local witness accounts, which also, like, her getting into this, it marked a whole new beginning for her career. Because she wasn't really into cryptids at all. She actually was skeptical going into this story. She didn't believe in the Beast of Bray Road. Mm-hmm. She was just doing
She's like, this stupid story I got to, like, cover because my
fucking boss, like,
me.
Her
God
fucking boss assigned
her. I
got to
talk to these Looney Tunes.
Stupid ass story that's totally going to discredit her and, like, completely cancel any chance for a future reporter.
But then what happened when she started interviewing these people, these shaken up, emotionally traumatized people who had seen the beast?
Linda changed her mind. She became a believer in the beast.
Because why?
Mostly because of how genuine and sincere the people she talked to about their stories. They were very, this is a quote actually from the article that she published on December 29th in 1991. This was the first one that she did, which is, a certain number of people, good, honest, working folk, had seen something. Something unusual. Something scary. Something hairy. That relished pavement patty dinners.
Yum.
In her own words.
Man. She's a good writer. I like that.
Yeah, she wrote a little Dr. Seussy there. But it was the consistency and number of reports that intrigued Linda too, for going into a whole new chapter of her life after this.
Honestly, they need to make a movie about it, because if you just picture this little picturesque town and this reporter who's just getting all these calls in about these weird sightings.
It's like, nothing ever happens around here. I don't know why you sound Irish now.
I don't know either.
Nothing ever happens around here, eh?
And then you see her, like a movie would be so good, and it just shows her start to be like, oh my gosh, there's something. Like, just the sheer number of reports about this. There's something going on. I don't know what people are seeing, but people are seeing something. Something is out there. And it looks like a doggy on two legs.
Yeah, a doggy on two legs, just walking itself. Pooping wherever it wants.
Fucking up people's minivans.
Throwing its own bones to chase.
Yeah, and this is kind of important, this part, is because with that explosion of reports in the 80s and 90s, it kind of gets to a point where you wonder how much the mania starts to take over, and then people start being like, oh my god, I saw this bear, or I saw this dark shape. It was definitely the dog man. And you think, like, maybe these people in the Midwest just started to blame stuff on the Beast of Bray Road,
right,
that aren't necessarily related to it.
It was like the scapegoat or scape dog, if you will.
Oh, hey, Larry. Did you see that weird-looking man standing naked in the field last night, huh?
Oh, you must be talking about the Beast of Bray Road. Yeah, he chewed up my minivan the other night. I got all kinds of claw and bite marks on the trunk.
You don't say. I think the beast might have stolen my long johns. I hung them up outside yesterday to dry.
Get out of town. Now that you mention it, for the life of me, I can't find my spare keys for the Subaru. I wonder if the beast might be taking it for a spin when I'm not looking.
Shut your goddamn mouth. The other day I thought I seen you out driving, but you had a bunch of furry hair all over your face. I just figured you were trying out a new hairstyle.
Oh look, there's the beast. Maybe we should invite him over for some Butterburgers and beer brats.
Yeah, I love how your Wisconsin accent sounds Irish. And I'm not knocking yours, because I know my...
Get out of town.
My accent sounds really
you
bad.
You fucking asshole. I ain't Irish.
As you can tell, people, our Midwest accents need some work. If you know how to sound Midwestern, if you could give us some tips.
You could give us some hate mail. Our true heritage is shining through. We can't help it.
So what's interesting about some of the reports...
What's interesting?
...is that most of them take place during the night. There's actually very few that take place during the day.
That makes sense, because Wolfman, or the beast, doesn't want to be seen.
So he only comes out at night?
At least he feeds at night on the roadkill. But the article that Linda Godfrey published, she tried interviewing as many people as she could and only got two.
You mean like people were too afraid to talk?
Or because admitting that you saw the beast, you don't want your name in there or any attachment, because... Everyone would think you're a loon.
Right. Like you have nothing to gain by talking about it.
Right. So she started by interviewing John Fredrickson, which was the county humane officer at the time. So he's in charge of the animals and all that jazz. And Fredrickson had a manila folder marked werewolf, filled with notes detailing 7 sightings.
By him?
That were reported to him. And these notes described unusual tracks, hairy pointed ears, something chasing down a deer on two legs. Another report was by a Burger King employee who saw it running.
Like, did he order a Big Mac?
That's funny. Can I get a wolf burger? Yeah. The Burger King employee saw it running, and he couldn't believe how fast it was through a field. Like, he'd never seen anything that fast. And Fredrickson's theory was that it wasn't a monster or werewolf, but just a coyote or wolf. People were just exaggerating their experience because they were seeing it at night.
Right.
So he's thinking like their imagination or creativity was affecting their witness account.
Yeah.
It's kind of a buzzkill. Captain Buzzkill, Fredrickson was. But he's got to be, you got to have a skeptic when you're talking about a cryptid or something that's not, that hasn't been discovered yet. So Linda was able to interview these two anonymous witnesses, both female, about their encounters. They confirmed, both confirmed seeing the creature at night on different parts of Bray Road. So it seems like it's in a very small area, at least initially. And one was a 26-year-old mother. The other was a high school student. And this is what the mother had to say. I was driving home one night on Bray Road, and I saw this thing on the side of the road. As I came up to it in my car, its back was to me, so I saw it had ears and the whole bit. It was kneeling. Its elbows were up, and its claws were facing out, so I knew it had claws. I remember the long claws, and it was eating roadkill or something. And as I drove by and I saw this, it looked right at me and didn't run. It didn't get spooked or anything. And it had like glowing eyes, which probably were a reflection of my headlights. It was right on Bray Road, right before the Bray Farm on the curve. And I saw it. He was brownish gray. He had big teeth and fangs, and he looked at me. He turned his head to look at me. It was about the size of an average man, 5'7".
His average? It's about a hobbit-sized wolf.
I'll take that fucking any day.
Is it a halfling or a werewolf?
It was holding the thing it was eating, palms up, with the long, real long claws and the pointed ears. He had a big, long nose and a long chin.
Like a doggy. Like a wolf
werewolf
face.
Like,
yeah.
A huff and puff.
Yeah.
I'm going to blow this shit down. So that's one of the witness accounts. I'm not going to get into the other one because it's a little longer, but there you have it.
That's so scary. Yeah. Like, I think I would...
Piss yourself?
No, I would drive by it pretty fast. Because I'd be afraid it might like try to jump into my car. Because I read a report by this lady who claimed to have hit something while driving on Bray Road. She got out to see what it was, and she found herself face to face with a massive wolf-like creature. Once it saw her, it chased her back into her car. And while she was struggling to get the car moving again, it was clawing at the rear passenger door, trying to get in.
Jesus Christ.
Can you imagine the adrenaline?
I can't. Ah! I don't think I can. I tell you, that car would smell like shit.
At least he ain't got opposable thumbs.
I would have defecated. That's scary shit.
Yeah. Like,
that's when you put the pedal to the fucking metal, man, and floor it out of there.
Right. You make some new roadkill.
And then you circle back and fucking hit that thing. Make sure it dies.
Yeah. And a lot of the reports are similar in that way, where people are driving down the road at night when they see something. And like we said, Bray Road seems to be at least one of the hot spots for seeing this thing.
Yeah, it is. It's at least the origin.
Right.
Hence the name.
And a lot of the time he chases the cars too. Just like your little buddy would.
Right. Well, dogs love to chase cars, don't they? So that makes sense that it's not the beast of Bray Road. It's Dogman.
Can you imagine calling that into 911 after you see like a...
What would you say? Jeez. To where you might not call 911.
Yeah. I bet those calls, though, that they do get about it are pretty creepy.
Dispatch, what's your emergency?
Yeah, there's some asshole outside my house in a furry suit. I think they might be high or on drugs.
Okay. Can you see if they have a weapon, sir?
They're just... Something's not right. I don't know what it is.
All right. Please stay indoors, sir. And make sure the doors are locked.
Red eyes.
Is there anyone else in the house with you? Sir, are you there?
So the Beasts of Bray Road might sound far-fetched, but
wow,
they're similar.
You fucking punster.
There are similar reports of another cryptid in the Midwest, just one state over in Michigan. From witness reports,
you don't say.
From witness reports, this cryptid shares all of the features of the Beast of Bray Road, described as a 7-foot-tall, blue-eyed,
beautiful blue eyes,
or amber-eyed, bipedal, canine-like animal with the torso of a man and a fearsome howl that sounds like a human. So it's been dubbed the Michigan Dogman. And the sightings of Dogman, as it's been
told,
as it's been known, go even further back than the Beasts of Bray Road, even past the 1800s.
That's right. It was allegedly first spotted in 1887 by two strong lumberjacks.
Two strapping lumberjacks in Wexford County in Michigan.
They described it as having a man's torso and a dog's head. It appears to be 7 feet tall, which is very closely linked to the Beast of Bray Road. But with this one, the howl is, I think, a little bit different, or it's like it sounds more like a human scream.
I thought the Beast of Bray Road had a similar... Because remember that dude who saw it in 1936? He said that when it growled, it sounded like a human and a wolf mixed.
That's true. One of the bigger differences, though, about Dogman, Ruff, is that legend has it that he appears in a 10-year cycle on years ending in 7. So the first spotting was 1887, and you can just work your way up all the way till 2017, which would be the last time he'd appear, allegedly. So the next time, he's coming back in 3 years, guys. You better be ready. In 2027, he might appear on the road.
I'm going to be at Bray Road, sitting there.
Not Bray Road.
Oh, I'm going to be...
You're going to be in the wrong spot.
You're right. I'm going to miss it.
I'm going to be like, you're 6 hours away from Wexford.
I'm going to be in Wexford, in Michigan, ready to talk to Dogman come 2027.
With a whole camera crew.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, Dogman. What is it like?
What is it like not having a master, Dogman? Being your own master.
You call the shots, do you?
You think you're a wise, cracking dog, huh?
Just a dog with a bone, are you?
But... Even before the loggers, though, even before the loggers witnessed this creature,
in 1887,
there have been legends, kind of like what you were talking about with the Navajo, but the Ottawa tribe near the Manistee River, they speak of a bipedal canid beast that terrorized the tribe. And these were thought to be medicine men who were skinwalkers, just like that other story. But once they transformed, they got stuck in a half-human, half-wolf state. That sucked, man. That sounds awful.
Sounds like you got fleas for life.
Like you're a medicine man one day, serving the tribe. You transform into a wolf, but you get stuck halfway. And then you're stuck eating roadkill. All because you didn't get cable. It's a slippery...
Well, why do the medicine man... Did they do it? Did they do it on purpose? Did they become Dogman on purpose, or was it an accident, do you think?
Yeah, the skinwalking, that's supposed to be something inherent to a lot of tribes in the United States and throughout the world, where they supposedly could take on to different degrees qualities or characteristics of animals that were important to them. So you had...
Shapeshifters.
Right. You had bear cults that even go back to like the prehistoric days of people that worshipped a certain animal and tried to imbue themselves with its qualities. So it goes to follow that if these people like had some sort of esoteric knowledge or could access some sort of ancient stuff, maybe they could shift themselves into these wolves or dogs, and then they just fucked it up. They didn't get the recipe quite right, and so they were stuck in between dog and man.
And they're stuck in doggy style. It's a nightmare. But big question a lot of people ask is the Dog Man the Beast of Bray Road?
Yeah.
Do we know? Do they know?
I'd say.
Does the dog man know
that he's the Beast of Bray Road?
Because more than likely, I would say the dog man is the Beast of Bray Road, but it's not a single entity. I don't think the dog man migrated from Wexford County, Michigan to Walworth County, Wisconsin. It's a 6-hour drive. And
that's a long walk on your two wolf legs.
He'd be hitchhiking a whole lot. If he were to sort of waltz his way there through the highways, he would have obviously been spotted in Chicago.
Right.
Wolfman in Chicago. I don't think anybody's seen that or heard of that.
A night on the town for the dog man.
But there is something in between that separates these two areas.
The lake.
Is the lake.
Michigan.
Lake Michigan. Yes. It sits between these two counties, spanning a width of more than 100 miles.
Damn. Can he swim, though?
That's the million-dollar question right there.
I don't think it's a million.
So
might be 100.
For reference, it's the third largest lake by surface area in the U.S. and is shared by Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan.
So you think he could have swam across?
No, I'm about to answer that. Lake Michigan itself has an interesting history and link to the paranormal. The Michigan Triangle is an area of the lake where there's been numerous shipwrecks.
Triangle? Like the Bermuda?
Exactly.
What?
It's been dubbed the Bermuda Triangle of Lake Michigan.
Midwest is crazy.
Yeah, there's cryptids crawling all over the fucking place. You need Ghostbusters over there.
Yeah, get that shit under control, guys.
Michigan Triangle is an area of the lake where there's been numerous shipwrecks dating far back as the 17th century. Strange disappearances, plane crashes have been reported, UFOs, USOs, which is unidentified submerged objects, have been spotted in this area. But
any of them furry and look like a dog?
Well, I mean, there is a monster supposedly in the lake.
Really?
Yeah. It's called the Lake Michigan Monster. Oh, would you have guessed that?
God, they need to be more creative in a million with these years. Names.
Yeah, it is an entity that supposedly lives in Lake Michigan, sometimes described as a living creature or spirit. It's described as a large, four-limbed aquatic carnivore with a thick, scaly hide, a long tail, clawed web digits, a short, strong neck, and short head with powerful jaws.
So it's like a little worm reptile, not little, but a big worm reptile thing.
Pretty much, it's a giant vicious salamander thing.
Whoa.
The first sighting is interesting because of the description of the Michigan monster was in 1878, only 9 years before Dogman. So this cryptid stuff started happening in the late 1800s in that area. At least white people started reporting it. The Native Americans supposedly already knew of these things and didn't really want to talk about
it. They knew everything. Already, huh?
Yeah, described by natives as half fish, half dragon. But back to Dogman, you know, I don't think Dogman could doggy paddle 100 miles from the two counties. I think there's pockets of this population all over the U.S. And they vary in height, color, hair color. Posture
and what they are, maybe even like Sasquatch, that could be a subspecies of these hominid things.
Yeah, unless he hitched a ride from the Michigan monster through the lake.
If you see a werewolf riding a worm through the water,
then that's dude, man.
I think that's like
that's fucking epic.
He's pretty much take a picture. Muad'Dib, right?
Consider
there.
Yourself the luckiest person on the planet to witness that, because that sounds badass.
And please send that picture to us because I gotta see.
Yeah,
but. That brings up an interesting point about the nature of this thing. What is it? And as you were talking about, the tribes have totally different beliefs about this thing than your average Michigander. They think
Take a gander.
Like they think that this thing could be maybe misidentified animals, but maybe if you were a little bit less conservative, you might think it's this weird cryptid, this dogman thing.
Right.
But the Native Americans sort of have this more like spiritual component to them where they think that it could be, is it called Wendigos? Is that the term they use?
Yeah, sort of. Although their description of Wendigos is a lot more terrifying than Dogman or the Beast.
What's that?
It's cannibalistic. and usually was a just a normal human being.
Who lacks a taste of human being.
And the Wendigo usually comes in the wintertime and gets inside the head of a the head of a man. Gets inside the head of a man and basically taints.
He what? Taints. Taints him? The dog man jokes. There's too many of them.
The dog man.
If you are listening to this and you're like, okay, I have no idea what to make of this. I don't know if these people are crazy. I don't know if they're actually seeing something.
You're talking about us?
If you're on the fence at all about sort of the stuff we've presented, I would like to give you a couple options. And these are theories about what these sightings could be. So you have number one, which is hoaxes. Simply that.
Man in a costume.
Yeah, that. That is what a hoax means. Fuck. That's funny. I didn't even consider that one.
No. I think what you're going to say is that like people are in on this and there maybe isn't a man in a costume, but people are making it up.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, God, there's a dog man. I saw a dog man last night.
Right. Like it's genuinely people not being able to identify animals.
Right.
And it has to do with something in psychology called serial reproduction or the telephone game effect. And what that is as you tell a story from person to person, the essence of that story changes so drastically that by the time that story goes through like 10 or 20 people, it no longer has any semblance to truth or so the original thing.
It means clean your fucking ears out because you're fucking jumbling the stories you're hearing.
Right.
Talking about hoaxes, not to discredit the second report that you talked about with the lady hitting the wolf with her car and then it chasing her into her car again.
You about to discredit it, aren't you?
Not discredit her, but just point out that it's interesting and kind of suspicious that this happened to her on Halloween night. And she's a high school student.
Ah, that does smell fishy, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? No. I ain't saying she's lying, but it does bring something up.
Yeah, like a prank call or something.
On Halloween too.
Plus, how many people on Halloween night could have been dressed up as a wolfman on the side of the road?
See, I don't completely discredit her because Linda Godfrey did interview her face-to-face, and she's a pretty good judge of character, and she believed these people were telling the truth. So it's just a bad coincidence that this high school student saw a wolf man on Halloween night. Like, that don't think.
Maybe that's why he came out. He knew everyone was going to be dressed up. He knew he could blend in.
And no one would believe her. No one would believe her. So what's another theory aside from the hoax?
The second theory is parallel evolution. And pretty much what this means is that a family of like reptilians that eventually are parallel to that of us in mammals. So you have a reptilian species that begins to get to the point where it's bipedal, it's smarter, it has more prefrontal lobe, and these things could be living out there in the world, but be so good at hiding that we don't even know they exist.
So they're masters of hide and seek.
Yeah, and these things could be similar to us in a lot of ways, but they're just like lizard people, or dog people, or I mean wolf people.
Cold-blooded motherfuckers.
Yeah.
That seems a little far-fetched to me that these things can hide so well, which would make me think that these things are multi-dimensional. Because, like Bigfoot, something that big is able to hide this long without being killed or discovered.
Yeah, like, but people are so oblivious. And if something wanted to hide, like, how often have you seen a bear?
Never.
Right. I've seen one like once in my life, and we live in the Pacific Northwest where they live.
I've seen one in a zoo.
Right.
Looks
so
pretty depressed.
And those are bears. They're not even like super smart. I mean, I think they're pretty smart, but
they're pretty fucking smart.
But imagine a hominid being that has not just animal senses, but it's advanced enough to have its own civilization and it wants to avoid detection at all costs.
Maybe.
Yeah, you make a fair case, sir. But I feel like if these things did exist, then the government would at least know about them because they have good fucking tech.
Right. So you said interdimensional beings. That's another theory.
Yes.
But what you just said, government and stuff, that hits on another one.
Oh, geez.
These cryptids could be a result of deliberate genetic tampering or gene splicing.
Oh my god.
And there could be like a really messed up scientist somewhere like Tusk who took someone and is like, I'm gonna make a reptile out of you, boy. Or a government agency like the Russians or the US could have been researching this.
That's also terrifying and kind of Stranger Things-esque. But did these things escape or do you think they let them out?
I don't know, but like the Nazis even, there's a lot of conspiracy theories about really weird genetic experiments done by the Nazis.
Could you imagine if you were like kidnapped or a sick person in the hospital and then they take you to experiment on and you wake up
with a dog head?
You wake up and you're all furry and the fucking doctor is smearing peanut butter on his crotch and it's a nightmare. It's a living nightmare.
Yeah. I only
Origins of Wolverine.
There's two other ones that are kind of related to what we've covered, but you have mutation. So this is like the Godzilla.
Imagine Dragons.
This is like the Godzilla thing. Like
Godzilla.
There could have been a toxic waste or some sort of chemicals that could have been released somewhere and led to creating an abnormal quality in a species. Mm-mm. Because some people think that the Dogman or the Werewolf of Michigan or the Beast of Bray Road, they're just wolves who have learned to walk on their hind legs, which isn't as crazy if you look at it that way.
But why would they learn to walk on their back legs?
Well, why did we? There's a lot of advantages. You can see...
You speak for yourself. I think we are always walking.
Dana runs around on all fours.
No.
Just so you guys know.
I think we've always walked on two legs.
Perhaps. But the theory of evolution says that we started as quadrupeds, and throughout our evolution, we got to a point where we became bipedal, and that's because there's a lot of advantages that being bipedal offers you.
I bet the first bipedal man was like flogged to death by all the quadrupeds.
Look at that idiot standing on two legs.
Like scared of him. Like, what is that? Kill it!
Yeah.
You think you're better than us? You're taller?
Yeah.
Because
you stand on your own two legs?
We're going to break your legs and see you stand.
I want to see you stand on your four legs like a man.
Oh my God.
But the last thing is skinwalkers. And this hits on the other thing is that the world could be a lot more magical of a place than we think. What if these tribes in the past were actually able to tap into some kind of esoteric knowledge or abilities that allow them to shapeshift? Which would it also explain why they seem to hang out in certain areas because they actually live there?
Hmm.
And the 10-year cycle ending in sevens that you were speaking of earlier.
Yeah.
If a lineage with this ability had offspring, that could explain the gaps between sightings because they have a little werewolf cub and then...
And they die when they give birth.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but like maybe they hit a certain age and then the gene or like they're big enough to go out and hunt for themselves on some roadkill on the side of the road. And that's when people see them is they're seeing that young buck come up.
Wow. That is interesting, but it's also interesting that if that be the case, why don't these things hunt or kill humans? If something that smart was carnivorous, why wouldn't it kill people?
That's a really good point.
Or are these werewolves so fucking smart they know not to kill us because it'll draw attention? But what theory are you leaning on? That this thing, is it a hoax?
You know,
is it somewhere in between?
For once, Dana, I'm a little bit out of my depth. I don't know what these things are. But I will say that as soon as I get some time, I am going to Wisconsin. I'm going to Michigan. And I am going to visit these sites where people have seen these things. We got to go. We'll document it for you guys too.
Document it.
Doggy what?
Document.
I'm going to document it.
Yes. And we did live in Wisconsin for some time, actually, when we were younger. In Plainfield area, which is where Ed Gein's from. Wisconsin's got a lot of dark history to it. It's interesting. Cryptids, serial killers. Just be careful when you're over there.
Yeah. What about you? What theory do you think you lean towards?
I think it's a mixture of things. I think...
That's such an on-the-fence answer, man.
No, it's not. I think initially it was a real sighting, and then I think some of these reports could have been hoaxes or people jumping to conclusions because they wanted to get on the wolf wagon and sort of help create prosperity and attention for their little town. And I get that. Like, I don't hate on that. That's cool.
Tourism.
But I think there's enough reports and sightings from all kinds of people all over the place, not just Wisconsin and Michigan. But I think this thing or whatever it could be, whatever it is, some kind of entity, is, I'd say, likely interdimensional. It's like real, but it has the ability to go into another dimension to hide when it feels like it. It comes into this world to maybe grab some grub.
That's all? Just roadkill? That's all it takes?
Yeah. Another idea is that they're not multi-dimensional, but they live underground. I think that's a possibility. I think there's a lot of tunnels and things underneath the earth we don't consider, like hundreds, thousands of miles of tunnels that we just don't know what their purpose is.
But regardless, it's a mysterious being.
It's a mouthful.
And it's a conundrum. You know, what do you make of all this? And that's why, if you guys have any thoughts, if you yourself have seen a dog man,
if you yourself have a dog,
if you are a dog man, if you know what a dog is, then comment down below.
And say dog man. Dog man. I am the dog man.
Yeah.
Like Batman.
We'll give you a treat.
Wow. That's good.
But thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast.
BWCS.
I'm your host, Mayan.
I'm your host, Dana.
And we really appreciate you guys coming here.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking the time to listen to our amazing voices.
And if you really like the content, consider checking out our Patreon, where you can support us make more of these episodes for you guys.
Fuel the beast, which is us. Make us make more magic.
If you're watching it on YouTube, remember to like and subscribe.
Or listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast.
And lastly, just let us know if you guys have any topics in mind that you'd like to hear more about. We're always looking for fresh topics.
Yeah, feel free to email us or DM us or comment.
Or say hi.
Yeah, just fucking say hi, whatever. Yeah.
Jeez.
Maybe we might say hi back.
If we feel like it.
We will.
So, stay safe. Stay out of the woods, especially on the full moon.
Good night, y'all.
Good night.